Remember how when you first started serving in ministry, the fire that you had, the zeal, the courage that you had? Remember how it was when you bragged about God had blessed you with a new job and you had some fire for that new job? You were excited about that job? Remember when God touched you and spoke to you about a need in somebody's life and you were able to meet that need, and you think about that fire that you had? This is you. This is the fire.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Discouraged, Stay on the Wall. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Discouraged, Stay on the Wall.
Fear is another thing that will cause discouragement. Look what it says in verses 11 and 12. And our adversaries said, they know not, neither see, till we come among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They said, look, let's go and let's kill them. If they're not going to stop working on the wall, we'll make them stop. We'll kill them. And then not only did they get this threat from the enemy, but then look what happened. Even their fellow Jewish people came. It said it came to pass when the Jews who dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places where shall we return until they will be upon you? What that means is that the enemies not only threatened to kill the people that were working on the wall, but these men that were working on the wall, men and women that were working on the wall, they had what? They had left their homes. And so they said, well, you know what? We're going to discourage you by threatening to kill you, and then we're going to attack your homes. And so now their own brothers are coming and saying, look, you guys got to come off the wall because we got to protect our own property. You know, fear is something else. Fear will discourage you. There's fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of inadequacy, fear of criticism, fear of responsibility. And when you begin to look at the enemy, one of the key tactics of the enemy is to instill fear in you to discourage you. But thank God for Nehemiah, that Nehemiah was steadfast and he did not become discouraged. The last cause of discouragement is a lack of recognition or appreciation. See, not only was Nehemiah criticized, and not only did he receive resistance, but to add insult to injury, we don't read anywhere where anybody ever came up to him and said, hey, Nehemiah, we really appreciate you taking the effort to lead this rebuilding of the wall. Hey, Nehemiah, you're doing a great job. We don't read that. There was no encouragement. And I find that sometimes in the work of God, that when people are not encouraged, they get frustrated. But it reminds me of the lady who picked up the communion cups for 20 years. And she picked up these cups. Every communion service, she would pick up these cups. And somebody pointed out to the pastor, do you know that Sister So-and-so has been picking up these communion cups for 20 years? And the pastor said, no, I didn't know that. You know, let me make sure I give her a word of thanks. And so the pastor went and told her that he thanked her for picking up the communion cups and that he hoped that she wasn't upset because he hadn't thanked her before that. And she said, look here, pastor. She said, if I did it for you, I would have been upset. But I didn't do it for you. I did it for God. And so if we are going to serve God, we got to realize that sometimes there is going to be a lack of appreciation. You might not get your kudos. All right? You just keep on serving. You just keep on going. You just keep on rolling. As I move on today, we see that discouragement has its results. What are the results of discouragement? If you don't handle discouragement correctly, We see that there will be emotional letdowns. That you can see when you discourage somebody, you know what, a lot of times you can see it right in their face. I mean, it's just like a balloon. If you were to blow up a balloon and then let the air out of it, you would see that air deflate out of that balloon. And a lot of times when a person has been discouraged, that emotionally they just have a letdown. There's anger. People get angry. They get angry with themselves. They get angry with others. Angry with the person that caused their discouragement. Angry with themselves because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, or they felt that they should have responded to this individual in a certain way, and they didn't respond the way that they wanted to respond. And so they're angry now. And then there's backsliding. People backslide from God, and they backslide from serving God. You know, I don't see people getting upset. I went to a football game one time, and there were girls sitting in front of us, and they were sloppy drunk. I gotta stay by this microphone here. And they were sloppy drunk. And they jumped up one time and cheered and threw beer on us. And then they kept standing up, blocking our view. And I never said, you know, that was very discouraging, because I went there to watch a football game, right? I didn't go there to have beer thrown on me and have people jumping in front of me. But I never said, I'm never going back to a game again. How is it that people, they get frustrated about something that happens in the church? Well, I'm not going down there again. You know, them folk down there, man, they're crazy. You know, I'm done with them folk. I don't have anything else to do with them anymore. You know, how is it that people, you know, I'm getting in trouble now. But how come people don't take that same attitude about their job? Oh, man, they told me to do something that wasn't in my job description. I'm not going back there anymore. See, I don't know why it's easy, you know, in the house of God, you know, when people get discouraged, that they want to fall away from God. They want to fall away from service. And then there's a questioning. People begin to question. They question themselves. They question others. They question God when they're discouraged. God, why did you let this happen? God, you could have did something about this. God, why didn't you intervene? And so they begin to question. And then if we don't handle discouragement correctly, it can lead to depression. And then finally, we start blaming other people. If you would have did this, if you would have did that. The results of discouragement are devastating. And as I said, the most tragic thing about discouragement is that the devil is just sitting back. Whenever he sees Christians that are discouraged, he got you, man. He got you. The biggest tool of the devil is discouragement. And I heard one of my mentors say, God cannot use a discouraged person. God cannot use a discouraged person. So how do we overcome discouragement? This is what I call the spirit of Nehemiah. We need the spirit of Nehemiah. And you're going to see what this is. This is a powerful spirit. Do you know, despite all of the discouragement and all the discouraging things that came his way, you know what Nehemiah 6:15 says? That in 52 days, they built the wall. In 52 days, in spite of everything that came against him. And I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what discouraging situation you find yourself in. But my brothers and sisters, you need the spirit of Nehemiah. That's what you need today. This grabbed my heart when I began to look at this. And I see how discouragement has taken hold of the saints of God. I see how discouragement has taken a hold of the people of God. I see how discouragement has hindered the work of God. And I said, man, we need the spirit of Nehemiah. I'm not going to be long. Somebody say, oh, he still got seven more points. We're going to be here all morning. No, I'm not going to be long. The spirit of, let that sink in for one second. I want you to get this in your spirit, in your heart. The spirit of Nehemiah. What kind of spirit was in Nehemiah? that in spite all the obstacles, despite all the opposition, despite all the discouragement, that in 52 days they finished the wall. What was in Nehemiah? First of all, he had a spirit of prayer. If you want to, you know, you can't tell me that you are a praying person and you're discouraged. You know, that's an oxymoron. You know, you can't be discouraged if you're praying. Because prayer, God will not let people stay discouraged if they know how to pray. Look what it says here in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Look what Nehemiah does. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own heads, and give them a spoil in their land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He had a spirit of prayer. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Oh, woe is me. Everybody's against me. I'm out here all by myself. I'm fighting this battle all by myself. Have you prayed? Oh, I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Look at Nehemiah. Hear us, oh God. Hear us. He prayed with a heart of passion. He prayed with a heart of fire. The spirit of Nehemiah is a spirit of determination. Look at verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. Some of y'all need to get your mind right. Not only do you need to pray, but you need to get your mind right. You need to realize that God has called you. That God has. Oh, I'm limited today, man. These the last 2 weeks, we're gonna get this microphone situation straightened out here because I need to move. That God has touched you. And that you need to be determined that whatever it is he's called you to do, that you are not going to come off of the wall. You are not going to come off the wall if you know that's what God called you to do. The people had a mind to work. Number 3, a spirit of awareness. That we need to be aware of the discouragement that comes in our life. Again, verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and what did we do? We set a watch against them. That we began to look for situations that would cause us to be discouraged. We knew the source of our discouragement. And you know, let's go back for 1 second. I gave you 5 sources of discouragement: criticism, resistance, overwhelming problems, fear, and a lack of recognition. What was it out of those 5 that discouraged you? Nehemiah said, we set a watch. What does it mean to set a watch? It means that we began to look out. That we put some soldiers together. We put some men together. We put some women together. And they specifically were watching out for Sanballat and Tobias. They were watching out. You need to set a watch in your life. You need to realize what the thing. I know what discourages me. I know what discourages me. And so I need to set a watch, and I need to be looking out for the things that I know that discourages me. And you know, a lot of times I have a saying: I have seen the enemy, and I is he. Sometimes I need to set a watch against myself. Number 4, the spirit of Nehemiah is a spirit of courage. Look what he said in verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. A spirit of courage. Don't let anybody blow out your fire. keep your fire burning. Nehemiah said, don't lose courage. Don't lose your courage. Keep your fire. That sometimes you may sense your fire burning low. Then you need to go somewhere and you need to rekindle the fire. But don't let the devil blow your fire out. Don't let somebody else blow your fire out. Keep the spirit. Keep your courage. He said, don't be afraid. What is it? What is the opposite of fear? Courage. Don't lose your courage. Because when you lose your courage, that's when you become discouraged. Don't let anybody. Number five, a spirit of trust. That if you are going to stay on the wall, you got to trust God. You got to trust God. Look at verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said, behold, unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Wow. Who is what? Who is great and awesome and fights for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. Wow. Trust God. You know, I had the opportunity last week. I got a call from Sister Dorothy Peck's family. And they said that she was on a ventilator and that they were going to take her off of the ventilator. And that if I could hurry up and come down there, because they didn't expect her to live much longer after I got there, or after they took it off. So I got in my car and went down there and walked in the room. And a lot of times when I get calls like that, I walk in the room and the person is non-responsive and they're just laying there. I walked in the room, Sister Peck, they had taken the ventilator off, and she was sitting up there smiling. I said, oh my goodness. She said, Reverend, it's good to see you. And she was excited and she was happy. And this is what she said. This is what she said. She said, I'm just waiting here, trusting God, and waiting for him to take me home. Wow. We talk about saving grace. That's dying grace. So sometimes we need that dying grace. She said, and I don't know how many times she told me that, I'm just waiting for God to take me home. That's trust. That's trust to know that when you close your eyes in death, you're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. And you trust him that much that there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no concern. It's just waiting to enter into the presence of the Lord. And last Tuesday morning, she entered into the portholes of glory. You got to have a spirit of trust. You got to trust God. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard it and that it was known unto us that God brought their counsel to nothing. God brought their counsel to nothing. And then look what he says in verse 20. And whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye there unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. You got to have a spirit of trust. And then six, you got to have a spirit of wisdom. What is the spirit of wisdom? Well, you know, there's a lot of verses there, so I'm not going to read it, but let me just tell you what happened. That Nehemiah said, look, we realize that there's some knuckleheads out here trying to discourage us. So let's set a watch of guys with swords, and let's set a watch of guys with building supplies. And while some build, the others watch. And that there might be some guys that are on the wall, you might be building, and you need to have a sword in the other hand. So you're building one hand, and you got a sword in the other. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That not only did he trust God, but God spoke to his heart, and God gave him the wisdom to say that even though we're building, we need to be ready to fight too. Wisdom. And then I'll close with this, and that is this spirit of Nehemiah. This thing is deep, man. This thing, just think, the next time you get discouraged, I don't know, you might be discouraged right now. Or let me tell you, I can guarantee you that within the next 3 days, you're going to get discouraged. All right? Something's going to discourage you. All right? I guarantee it. If it doesn't, pwrglaze@aol.com. Let me know. Let me know if it doesn't. All right? Let me know. All right? Because when it happens, you need to ask yourself the question, do I have the spirit of Nehemiah? Just ask yourself, do I have the spirit of Nehemiah? And we see finally, it was a spirit of perseverance. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I built the wall, and there was no breach left in it, though at a time I had not set the doors up upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should I cease and leave it and come down to you? And they sent unto me 4 times in this way, and I answered them the same manner. Every time. You need a spirit of perseverance. You need a spirit that will say, for God I'll live, and for God I'll die. They tried to talk Nehemiah down off the wall. 4 times they came and tried to talk him off the wall. But what did he say? He said, I'm doing a great work for God. Why should I leave the work of God? Why should I leave the work that God has called me to come down and meet with you? Then you got to be careful when somebody wants to meet you on the plane of Ono. That can't be too good of a place. Ono. That's saying something there. And so we need a spirit. You know, I'm gonna take it personally, because I know discouragement is coming my way. I know it. I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna memorize these 7 principles. Now I don't know. Maybe the Lord anointed me when I was putting this message together, right? The Lord anointed me with his number of completion. 7. I'm just kidding. Now I'm just kidding, y'all. Lighten up now. Lighten up. I know y'all ready to go. Lighten up. Memorize these seven spirits of Nehemiah. Now, again, I'm not trying to start a new doctrine. Let me say that. I'm not trying to start a new doctrine. I'm just saying that this was a spirit that combated against discouragement. And I think that we would all do well to memorize these spirits and to go back and read Nehemiah chapter 4, and that we would have this spirit to be able to overcome discouragement in our life. As I close, I give you a prayer, and the prayer is this. Father, the enemy has taken away my enthusiasm, spirit, and courage. Please help me identify the cause of my discouragement and realize what it is doing to me. Help me overcome discouragement with the tools that you have provided for me. What are those tools? The 7 spirits of Nehemiah. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to walk around in life being discouraged. Lord, we know that Satan hits us a couple times a week with discouragement. Lord, it can be something as simple as somebody's...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Conflict, Bumping Heads with Other Saints. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Discouraged, Stay on the Wall, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Discouraged, Stay on the Wall. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request discouraged, stay on the wall, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.